You're listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
Check, check, one, two. Look like a little country. Some rock and roll and blues. Cause we sure love playing for good people like you. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.
You are listening to Savannah Music, Local and Sustainable, the radio show which features conversations with and the music of local musicians and musicians performing in town. I am your host, Dave Lick. Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I am again chatting with John Madden, Artistic Director and Conductor of the Savannah Wind Symphony. We are here to talk about the presentation of the annual patriotic concert entitled America 250 on this coming Sunday, June 28th at 3 p.m. in the Fine Arts Auditorium of the Armstrong Campus of Georgia Southern University, which is at 11935 Abercorn Street here in Savannah. Tickets are available at www.savannahwindsymphony.com. And you really need to purchase your tickets early because you want to avoid disappointment, as this is always a sellout each year. Welcome back to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, John Madden.
Thank you, Dave. Good to be back. How are you?
Just fine. Good. How's everything with you and with the Savannah Wind Symphony?
Well, the Savannah Winds are doing great. As you just described, this is our big patriotic concert, our fourth concert of the season. The previous three have all been well attended, and the band is playing great, and things are humming along, as I like to say.
And I was going to put in the introduction about number of times this has been presented, and I said, I have no clue. Do you know how far back this goes?
I don't either, other than when I got the job, you know, I knew there was a four-concert kind of template, two concerts of, you know, what I would call concert music for wind ensemble and various themes, and you and I have chatted about that. And then there's a famous Pops concert. And then this patriotic concert, it's firm in the template. You know, it makes sense, the community, the time of year, all of that. So it's just one of those things that I inherited and would do it anyway. I just think it's a wonderful concert. And it's the ultimate in where a community's ensemble, you know, Savannah's own community band, plays a concert that's patriotic in nature, but it really is geared to the community. And it's for them. And it's for all of them, and then there are several celebrations that are associated with this concert, and we can talk about those.
Well, and the idea of a community patriotic concert goes back to concerts in these small squares in Vermont.
You name it. I mean, well, you know, we'll just talk about John Philip Sousa for a second. The world-famous march king, but, you know, beyond his compositions, he was quite the showman, and his band toured the country post his military band career. You know, John Philip Sousa was the conductor of the United States Marine Band. Really became quite famous. And then if you think of Sousa writing a new march, it was kind of like pop music being heard on the radio back in the day. And that's how that tune became famous. Sousa wrote a march. Its exposure was in the very band shell in Vermont that you just talked about, or in Chicago, or at some community park, even in Savannah. There might have been here's the famous Sousa band on tour, and we know this march, but what's this new one? And off they go, and that was how it worked. So, yeah, the community concert, you know, the band was an easy and nimble ensemble. The musicians can carry all the equipment in, and, you know, there's no trucks offloading to set the band up and all that. Really, really a great tradition.
Yes, and I always joke with the wind players that playing soft is the most difficult thing that they do, but playing loud in a band shell is very easy.
Yeah, right. It sort of amplifies it for you and pushes the sound out there. You know, you talk about another issue there. You know, the concert band obviously has its roots in brass, wind, and percussion. brass instruments have the muscle. Woodwind instruments have the nuance. A little harder to play loud on an oboe versus a trumpet, but that's where great ensembles come together and make adjustments to each other and what is the composer asking of us. And yeah, it's the outdoor concert is a popular thing. Now, I don't think it would be possible to have an outdoor concert in Savannah in late June, early July. I don't think we'd make it past the first 10 minutes just because of the heat. So you told the audience about our location at Armstrong. It's a beautiful concert hall. The air conditioning will be revving. Rest assured. So come on out.
Oh, that's the other thing, that subtle woodwinds and air conditioning units often don't go together very well, but brass and air conditioning units go together okay.
There you go. Right. Everybody has to make their adjustments to the environment. So, yeah, you bet.
And, of course, this is a long conversation, but since taking U.S. history, probably in junior high school, I've always had my doubts of why on earth do we celebrate the 4th of July? Because particularly this year, because of everything, but oh, it's the 250th anniversary of our country. No, it isn't. It is the 250th anniversary of a statement of beliefs.
Signing of the Declaration.
Of a particular thing.
Yep.
I mean, I don't consider our nation being founded until we had the final Constitution, which was not until 1788 or something like that when
right.
it was ratified.
Right.
And so we shouldn't be celebrating the 250th anniversary of our country until next decade sometime.
Right. Well, you've hinted at that, and we have commissioned an important piece to be world premiered on this concert approaching this very subject. I've been referring to this as the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Which it is, yeah.
And a profound document,
right.
to be sure. I don't
right.
think anybody argues any of that. So we have commissioned a composer who I know, and he has written a piece for the band called Declarations, and that will be for concert band and narrator. And our narrator is a well-known Savannian,
Sonny Dixon. Yeah.
Yeah. And Sonny is someone I've met and now enjoy working with, although he's as much a part of this concert as the band is. You know, it goes without saying. He's a celebrated person. He was a news anchor. He was a
politician,
a mayor, and from what I understand, people who know him better than I do, he's a band guy. I think he played the French horn, and he's very supportive of Savannah Wind Symphony, and for a guy who's probably done lots of gigs in his time, I believe this is the one gig that he says, I will continue to do this as long as you'll have me. So he's an institution, and to me, he's the glue to the concert. So I thought about that and how dignified it would be to have Sonny do more of a formal narration. And so I spoke with my composer friend, J.R. Tremp, and J.R. wrote a great four-minute sort of concert opener with the snippets from the Declaration of Independence inserted into certain moments. And I think it's a very poignant and powerful piece, and it's going to be a great way to sort of open the more formal part of the concert following the Star Spangled Banner, where Sonny would normally introduce everything that's happening. But I've asked Sonny to relinquish the microphone, and I'm going to introduce him and talk a little bit about the piece, and then Sonny will be the narrator in this very special premiere on the topic we were just speaking of, the Declaration of Independence.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Bravo.
You got it.
And, of course, that follows the Star Spangled Banner opening, and that has Rebecca Flaherty as soloist for the Star Spangled Banner.
Absolutely. Rebecca's also a longtime participant in the concert, and she's well-known in your audience, I would imagine, as a...
Oh, yeah.
She has her educational ensemble called Sing, and I know she's a music teacher in the area, and she's involved with... Savannah Philharmonic and their educational offerings, and she's a pro. So I really enjoy working with Rebecca. And then we have a special guest conductor for this concert as well. That doesn't mean I'm not conducting. We're sharing quite a bit of the conducting, and that is the most recently retired commander and conductor of the United States Army Band, Pershing Zone, from Washington, D.C., Colonel Andrew Esch. So The backstory is that Colonel Esch and I'll just call him Andy at this point, went to school together. We were undergrads together at Michigan State. And Andy has had a hugely successful military career, obviously in the Army band structure, too many to mention in the interview, posts along the way, but it all led to the probably the most prestigious Army band conductor position in the entire premier band setup in the world. And the premier bands are the single bands from each branch that are home to Washington, D.C. Andy, though, was an Air Force musician first part of his career. He played French horn in the U.S. Air Force band. So Savannah's really lucky to have Andy coming in, and I'm excited to have him participate in this concert with us. He will lead the audience in the national anthem. That's a full bird colonel right there. That'll be terrific.
Well, and it is Pershing's own band. Mm-hmm. And for those who aren't familiar with General John Pershing was the leading general in World War I. Also, if not the lead general in the Spanish-American War, certainly very important in that. Mm-hmm. And so at the time when the concert band, the turn of the century, that is the turn of the 19th to the 20th century, mm-hmm. was really becoming a prominent element of America as well as a prominent element of the military.
Right. And so you hit a nerve there, because with the development of school bands, college and university bands, community bands, they all fed off of the energy and the attention that the military bands and the role they were playing at this very time had. So it also led to, not only tremendous growth in terms of school kids learning band instruments and participating in ensembles for their schools, but if you think on the periphery of that, you also have band instrument manufacturers popping up in towns like Elkhart, Indiana, and Cleveland, and Elkhorn, Wisconsin, and places like that. But that was a boom industry. And so those guys were getting rich and getting a lot of activity kind of happening through the schools. And then you can't forget about the music publishers. So if every school in the country now is a school band, well, they've got to have something to play. So things were being transcribed and music was being written. And then lastly, it created this thrust of a new breed of composer who said, well, as opposed to bands playing things that were previously written, say, for the orchestra and have now been transcribed, then you get into the mid and past the mid part of the 20th century. Now you're talking about great composers dedicating their craft to the band as a single entity, not a hybrid entity playing some transcription, even though some of our transcriptions are some of the richest and most beautiful things we get to play, but they're crafted in such a way that it just makes the available repertoire that much more broad. But the composers that this whole movement flourished is impressive. So that's a whole topic in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that I went to school at Texas Tech, which is not that far away from North Texas State.
Not at all.
And North Texas State being, to me, the preeminent band university.
It became that. And there would be others that would arm wrestle you for a different answer. But that by and large, because, number one, North Texas is a ginormous school of music. There's 1,000-plus students in the School of Music. Eugene Corporon, who I played under at Michigan State, he just retired from North Texas. And he decided that he was going to have the band record, which he did. You've referenced many North Texas recordings. And he believed in not just new music, but there's a lot of existing music for the band. And that's great. But Gene said, let other people play those. I want to play new music of composers who are alive. And I want to talk to them. And we're going to promote them by getting their pieces recorded. And so the wealth of his recording output is just huge in our profession. But, Texas, by and large, is a great band state. There's no doubt about it. And the band program at the University of Texas and Texas Tech and all of them, you know, they're just they're incredible places. Just and now you're talking about the regions that are most significant in band history. You know, you can't ignore the Midwestern part of the world with all the Big Ten schools and all the pioneering band programs and band conductors and all the rest of it. And then the conservatories like Eastman and Frederick Fennell and others that decided to really sink their teeth into this world. And we are now the benefactors of all of this great history.
Well, and the playing of music by living composers, I'm trying to think back of the history of the Savannah Wind Symphony, but really when you came, probably because of your academic background at Michigan State, but to me it really changed. The Wind Symphony became one of the few institutions in the city that promotes living, breathing composers.
Yeah. I think that's accurate. That's just part of how I was brought up in the profession and the people that I've been around and have been able to hang out with and conduct their music. And so that also is accelerating this idea of commissioning composers, which is a big part of our 50th anniversary next year. So every concert we do next year will have a premiere of a new work. And this is what the board of directors and I agreed to, and it was a suggestion, and now it's a reality when I got hired. But, you know, we need to do profound work in the idea of commissioning these composers to create special works that we can share with the world. Others can play these pieces. But I also want to bring these composers to Savannah for their premieres and have the musicians, the band members, they're going to experience something that supersedes just coming together, sitting down, and playing any old piece. They're going to be in this perfect relationship of a collaborative setup where the composer, who's really the creator of the art, and then I visualize a triangle. And that composer sits on top of that triangle. And in the bottom two corners are the conductor in one corner and the ensemble in the other corner, and we are all subordinate to the composer who's created the work, and then through study and rehearsal and collaboration we are participating in the ultimate craft of bringing the art together. We are collaborators with the composer, so it's really exciting. We don't get to do that when we play the whole suite in E-flat because Holst is long gone. We can't call him up. Can't even send him an MP3. But we can do that with any composer we commission and any composer who's alive and any composer we choose to have a relationship with. So I appreciate you saying that. It's important. We won't ignore the masterworks. Those are important in our heritage. But I like to hybrid the idea of new music, commissioning with the great pieces that have lasted the test of time and the great transcriptions that work well for us.
This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul.
You're listening to WRUU, your local radio station, for people just like you, hosted by people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and others from the Savannah and Lowcountry area. In other words, WRUU is your community radio station. Please help us by donating whatever you can to help your neighbors and friends stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station. Any amount is welcomed. Thank you for your support of WRUU.
This music is often called classical music, but remember, Mozart, Beethoven, and Liszt were the rock stars of their time, so I simply call it great music. I'm your host, Dave Lake, and join me for four centuries of great music, with new episodes each week on Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m.
We also have encores of these episodes on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. from mid-June to early December. Welcome back to Music Local and Sustainable, and I'm your host, Dave Lake.
Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I am again chatting with John Madden, Artistic Director and Conductor of the Savannah Wind Symphony. We are here to talk about the presentation of the annual patriotic concert entitled America 250 on this coming Sunday, June 28th at 3 p.m. in the Fine Arts Auditorium of the Armstrong campus of Georgia Southern University, which is at 11935 Abercorn Street here in Savannah. Tickets are available at www.savannahwindsymphony.com. Well, we've talked about the past, and we've talked a little bit about the future. Let's talk about the present.
Sure.
And that is the concert that's coming up this Sunday, June 28th at 3 p.m. at the Fine Arts Auditorium of the Armstrong campus of Georgia Southern University.
This is also a very military-centric concert because of where we live. We honor the Chatham County Veteran of the Year. We have dignitaries from Fort Stewart. Also do some dramatic readings. There's a little bit of flag waving and a little bit of toe tapping. And we'll have the honor guard from Fort Stewart come out and present the colors before the national anthem. The members of the ensemble who are currently in military bands or have served in the military, they wear their uniforms for this concert. Since having participated in several of these concerts before now, it seems to be an audience favorite. And this, and the audience members that come to this know what they're in for. I think they come for that reason because they feel the need to be invigorated with this music at this time of year. We take an important arrangement of America the Beautiful, arranged by Carmen Dragon, famous orchestrator arranger. the band will play it, but this officer will read the text from I Am an American, sort of like we describe Sonny doing the narration to declarations.
I am an American. That's the way most of us put it, just matter-of-factly. They are plain words, those four. You could write them on your thumbnail, or you could sweep them clear across a bright autumn sky. But remember, too, that they are more than words. They are a way of life. So whenever you speak them firmly. Speak them proudly. Speak them gratefully. I am an American.
And I think it gives the band a chance to connect with folks that are at Fort Stewart, remind them and our audience that we're here and you're important to us and we can't do this without you, and thank you for coming and thank you for contributing. There's a lot of goodwill in that regard. We have a guest choir this year. That's a little bit different, but that, as you and I have talked before, programming to me is pick a piece that the rest of the concert can pivot around. You know, it's kind of the curate the concert based on where you're going. So there's this famous arrangement of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, which doesn't need an introduction, and the famous setting by Peter Wilhowsky is standard. You always hear the military bands playing it. It's a ginormous tour de force of an important and poignant tune.
We'll be right back.
it can be done instrumental only, but it's more effective with the choir. So we have the chancel choir from the Wesley Monumental Methodist Church joining us. There's several members of our band who attend that church, and one in particular, our board president, Raymond Patricio, and his wife are members of this choir. And I remember brainstorming it with some of the folks on the board, and I said, could we get a choir? Can we get a couple of community choirs and see how many people we vol-? He says, I'll talk to the people at Wesley Monumental. And I've been out to rehearse with them, and they're all over this. So we're going to have choir risers and a full stage of musicians. And I don't know. It's part of my upbringing of directing, you know, a huge college marching band in front of, you know, a full Big Ten stadium. But I guess the expression is go big or go home. I mean, this is going to be a pretty stunning finale to the concert. And the choir is going to do other, you know, a big patriotic sing-along with the audience. And there's words to the trio of Stars and Stripes Forever. I don't think most people know that, but, you know, there's a section in the middle of that. And then, of course, there's the Armed Forces medley that Colonel Esch will conduct, and the choir will sing, and Colonel Esch will talk to the audience about it and invite former members or current members or family members of all the branches to stand and be recognized and let us thank them during the playing of that medley. It's a, you know, it's a great tradition. We didn't invent it. The premier bands always do that. Big symphony orchestras do that. You can tune in to PBS on Memorial Day and hear the National Symphony Orchestra play the Armed Forces medley, and the folks will stand with pride, and it's a great tradition.
Is there a tune for the Space Force?
There sure is.
Okay.
It was created when the Space Force was created. It probably took about a year, but yeah, it's right there in the medley.
Please stand when your service song is presented. The United States Coast Guard. States Air Force.
Yeah.
premiere of J.R. Trimpe's Declarations. Everybody should be anticipating, and it is the, as you said, it is the, after the Star Spangled Banner, the national anthem, it is the opening, really, of the concert.
Yeah, it's a very nice, formal way to kick it off.
And you always include something from the classical music repertoire. And in this case, you're going to be doing Chester by William Schumann. And Chester is one of the pieces from his New England triptych.
Yes, William Schumann, great American composer. He was a Juilliard person, New York person. And I would call him one of the top-shelf American composers, you know, right there with Copland and Ives and the upper echelon of great American composers. So the New England Triptych is three pieces. Be Glad Then, America is the opening movement. Second movement is When Jesus Wept. And the third movement is Chester, which is a Revolutionary War song that soldiers sang. And it is, you know, associated with the Revolutionary War and comes, it was originally attuned by the early American William Billings. And Billings wrote several of these kind of marching songs and soldier songs. I did do a little bit of reading recently that the name Chester is not profoundly connected to anything, but apparently when tunes were written in the Revolutionary War era, you may know this better than I do, it was arbitrary how the song was named or labeled, but it was named so it wouldn't be this way from some reference, so it wouldn't be confused with something else. And I don't know the rest of the story other than this tune became Chester. Da 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 dee da ba dee 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 dee. Everybody knows the tune once they hear it.
Thank you.
And it's probably the most difficult project piece on the concert for us. I would say that and the Robert Jager piece, Esprit de Corps, which is a marine band-oriented test piece. I mean, it's got lots of stuff in it.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking, a cast of thousands. We forgot about Scott Rogers. In addition to Rebecca, Scott sings a famous Trace Adkins hit about the Arlington Cemetery called Arlington. And it's really, it's a tearjerker. It's about, you know, soldiers coming home and being placed in the Arlington National Cemetery. Scott is an institution in this concert himself. He's a local person who I think many people listening know of Scott, and he is, if there's anybody that sounds like Trace Adkins in the world, it's Scott Rogers. It's amazing. It's uncanny. And he's a pro. It's just great to have him part of the concert along with Rebecca.
I never thought that this is where I'd settle down. Thought I'd die an old man back in my hometown. They gave me this plot of land, me and some other men, for a job well done. There's a big white house, it's on a hill just up the road. A man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up a flag, told my mom and dad, we're proud of your son. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best of company. And I'm thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. Well, I remember Daddy brought me here when I was 8. Searched all day to find out where my granddad lay. And when we finally found that cross, he said, son, this is what it cost to keep us free. Here I am, 1,000 stones away from him. He recognized me on the first day I came in. And it gave me a chill when he clicked his heels and saluted me. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best of company. And I'm thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. And every time I hear 21 brought another hero home to us. And we're thankful for the things we've done. We can rest in peace, are the chosen ones. We made it to Arlington. Yeah, dust to dust, and no cry for us. We made it to Arlington.
So tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I have had back again to chat about the Savannah Wind Symphony, its artistic director and conductor, John Madden. And we've been primarily talking about the annual patriotic concert, which is entitled this year America 250, on this coming Sunday, June 28th at 3 p.m. at the Fine Arts Auditorium of the Armstrong Campus of Georgia Southern University, which again is at 11935 Abercorn Street in Savannah. And the tickets are available at www.savannahwindsymphony.com. And I want to thank you so very much, John Madden, for being on the show tonight.
Thank you, Dave. Always a pleasure to come in and speak with you.
This has been another edition of Music Local and Sustainable, and I've been your host, Dave Link. Save this time for another show next week.
Well, I know we ain't headed for the Hall of Fame. Gonna give it what we got, man, that ain't no shame. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.